famous cigarettes, the cigarette of modern design, presents the man whose whole life is a constant hunt for facts. Believe it or not, Bob Ripley!
Greetings, everyone, and welcome. People who want the last word on what is going on in the world, listen to Gabriel Heater and his analysis of the news. And in the news tonight, we learn that the Jap columns are moving into India through the states of Manipur and Assam to cut our lifeline to China. Well, here's hoping they will be rained out, because this part of India is the rainiest spot in the entire world. And the rainy season comes between March and May. In other words, it comes right now. The town of Chirapunji in Assam holds the world's record for rainfall. The annual rainfall averages 424 inches, or over 35 feet a year, nearly four times the amount of the rainiest spot in the United States, which is Glen Eure in Oregon. Now, I've been in India several times. I know they have many unusual customs. But in Manipur, let me tell you this, the men are called cookies. And the name for a pretty young girl is, appropriately enough, Yum Yum. And when these girls become old women, they are called chicks or young chickens. And in Assam, when a young man proposes to a girl, he gives her a silken pillow as a gift. The girl sleeps on the pillow and she dreams. If she dreams of the young man who gave her the pillow, it's a sign that she will marry him. But if she dreams of another fellow or a thief or a dead snake, I would say, it's a sign that the engagement must be broken. Now, the marriage ceremony consists of a girl sprinkling salt on the bridegroom. You see, in Assam, a girl catches her husband in much the same way that we catch birds. And after the marriage, if the husband wants to divorce his wife, he returns the compliment. He sprinkles a pinch of salt on her back, and he says three times, "I am divorced." And that's all there is to it, believe it or not.
Bob Ripley will be back in just a moment. Smokers, the whole story of Pall Mall's modern design is right in front of your eyes. The minute you look at a Pall Mall, you see Pall Mall's greater length. That's modern design. And when you light your cigarette, you can see that Pall Mall's greater length travels the smoke further, over a 20% longer route of Pall Mall's traditionally fine tobaccos. Pall Mall's greater length filters the smoke naturally, diminishes heat and bite on the way, gives you a cooler, smoother, better-tasting smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, believe the evidence of your own eyes. Pall Mall gives you visible proof of its advantage to smokers. Your eye tells why. Pall Mall's modern design filters the smoke, gives it that cooler, smoother taste. Here he is again, Bob Ripley.
To most of us, danger is just a word in a dictionary. Yet in my hunt for facts, I have met men to whom danger is a business. Men who risk their lives every day. Men who laugh in the face of death. And you will meet one of these men in the Believe It or Not I'm going to sketch for you right now. The time, 1931. The place, the Curtis Airport in Chicago. The world-famous flyers, Harold Gatty and Wiley Post, have just set their plane, the Winnie Mae, down on the field. As our scene opens, Jack Cope, an old friend of the flyers, runs over to meet them.
Hello, Wiley. Hiya, Harold.
Hello, Jack.
Welcome to Chicago.
Hello, Jack. Long time no see. How's tricks?
I couldn't be better. Well, what are you doing these days, Jack? Still testing parachutes?
Yeah. Once a parachute jumper, always a parachute jumper.
Well, you're looking swell. Must be a healthy business.
Sure. Keeps me out in the air.
Well, if one of those chutes doesn't open, it won't be such a healthy business.
Yeah, but there's one thing about it. Anytime that happens to my act, I won't have to come back for an encore.
You know, guess you got something there, Jack.
What kind of chute are you using?
Well, I've been using the umbrella type. You know, they're practically flat on top and just curved down a few inches on the sides like an umbrella. Say, did you ever see one work?
No, but I'd like to.
Hey, so would I. How about making a jump for us while we're here?
Okay, but you fellas haven't got the kind of ship I can bail out of. Winnie Mae is a cabin type, and I need an open job.
Well, there must be plenty of those around here.
Sure, Ray Akers got one. I'll get him to take me up. What time you want to make it?
Oh, how about 3 o'clock this afternoon, huh?
Yeah, suits me. I'll rent a chute and meet you here at 3 o'clock.
What's your altitude, Ray?
3,000 feet, Jack.
All right, take it down to 1,500 and level off.
No, Jack, 2,800 is as low as I go.
Hey, that's too high.
Ah, don't be a sissy. There's a big crowd down there watching. Let's give them a good jump.
Okay.
That does it, Jack. We're flying at 2,800 now. You all set?
Yep. Here I go. See you downstairs.
Yes. Help clear the plane, all right? Now then, pull the ripcord. There. Hey, I'm falling too fast. Something's wrong. Good Lord, some fool packed the chute wrong. It's inside out. It won't open. It won't open!
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are men who laugh in the face of fate and live to tell about it. That parachute did not open, and Jack Cope fell 2,800 feet to the ground. Yet by a miracle, he's here in the studio with me now, standing right beside me. I want you to meet him. Here he is. Chief Parachute Rigger, Jack Cope. Tell us, Jack, what did you think when you were falling through the air to the ground?
Well, Bob, I realized if I pulled a ripcord of my emergency chute too soon, we'd get fouled up with the other one. Mm-hmm. So I waited till I got down about 800 feet, and then I pulled the ripcord.
Well, what happened then?
The emergency chute had been packed inside out, too. It just collapsed.
You mean it collapsed? Well, how much of the parachute actually did open?
Oh, it's just about the size of a beach umbrella.
Just the size of an umbrella. Well, I know that dead weight falls at the rate of about 120 miles an hour, and you must have been falling pretty fast when you hit the ground.
I don't know. All I know is I cracked some ribs and broke my leg in 12 places, and I was unconscious for 2 days.
Unconscious for 2 days? Well, did you ever make another jump after that?
Yeah, just to prove that I hadn't lost my nerve. Then I quit. I made about 2,500 in all, and I figure that's enough.
Well, Jack, I know that from your experience, is cause and is largely responsible for making the umbrella type of parachute obsolete.
Yeah, that's right, Bob. The type of chute we use today will open properly even if it's packed inside out.
Well,
but it's as safe and as foolproof as human hands can make it.
Well, Jack, I want to thank you for coming here from Virginia to be with us tonight. I also want to thank Captain Powell and Lieutenant Wheeler for giving you permission to appear on our broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Chief Parachute Rigger, Jack Cope, who jumped from a plane and his parachute failed to open. He fell 2,800 feet to the ground. You see, his parachute had been packed inside out. Yet the only injuries he received were some cracked ribs and a broken leg. But this fall was responsible for the old type of parachute being thrown into the discard. And the development of the present type of parachute, which is saving the lives of hundreds of our boys on the fighting fronts every day, believe it or not. And now here's Don Hancock.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice something different is happening when a pell-mell smoker tries to light an old-fashioned short cigarette. Unconsciously, he holds the flame a good half inch beyond the tip of the short cigarette. He's looking for something that isn't there. He's looking for Pall-Mall's modern design. Modern design means Pall-Mall is longer. Modern design means Pall-Mall is smoother, cooler. From the very first puff, Pall-Mall's greater length travels the smoke further, diminishes heat and bite on the way. Pall-Mall's greater length filters the smoke naturally over a 20% longer route of Pall-Mall's traditionally fine tobaccos. That's modern design. Pall-Mall's modern design. Pall-Mall filters the smoke, gives it that cooler, smoother taste.
One for all and all for one. Yes, that's the way we're going to win the war. Over there all together fighting for victory. Over here all together working for victory. The victory symbolized by the letter V, the same letter V you see on every package of your Pall-Mall cigarette.
And here are Bob Ripley's answers to the V-mail letters from our boys in the service.
All right, Don, fire away.
Well, Bob, our first letter is from Private K. Ballin of the U.S. Army, who writes, "Our captain tells us in war, rocket guns are not new or secret." He quotes the Star Spangled Banner, which says, "The rocket's red glare." Were rockets used then? Is he right?
Private Ballin, your captain is wrong. The rockets used at Fort McHenry and mentioned in the Star Spangled Banner were signal flares, not shells or rocket guns. That battle was fought at night, and the flares were used as signals to the troops, believe it or not.
And from Private Ed Sherbet, U.S. Army, comes this one. How did Buffalo Bill get his name?
Well, Buffalo Bill, or William E. Cody, to use his real name, was supposed to have been named Buffalo Bill because of the large number of buffaloes he killed. Actually, he never killed a buffalo in his life. He never even saw a buffalo, because there were no buffaloes in America. The animals Buffalo Bill killed were bison, an entirely different species of animal. Therefore, Buffalo Bill should actually have been named Bison Bill, not Buffalo Bill, believe it or not.
And now, on with the hunt. Here's Bob with the answer to last night's Believe It or Not. Remember, Bob, you had us walking in circles with this question. What was the first thing manufactured in this country after its discovery? That one got me dizzy, Bob.
Well, Don, the answer is a deck of playing cards. The first thing Columbus's sailors did when they arrived in the New World was to manufacture a pack of cards out of animal skins, because their old deck of cards had been completely worn out during their long voyage from Spain to America. Believe it or not, it's true.
Well, Bob, how about another question for us to take a whirl at tonight?
All right, now, maybe I better tell you first that Chaplin was judged not guilty. I'll tell you that now. But anyway, here's the question. Who is the richest man in the world?
Who is the richest man in the world? Not me, Bob, not me.
Well, it's not me either, Don. But I'll be back with the answer tomorrow night. And here's a clue for you. This man is so rich that he could pay for the entire cost of the war for a period of 15 days. Believe it or not.
Smokers, whenever you buy cigarettes, remember, Pall-Mall's modern design gives you two important benefits. First, Pall-Mall's greater length travels the smoke further, diminishes heat and bite on the way. Second, Pall-Mall's greater length filters the smoke, gives it that cooler, smoother taste. And that's why wherever particular people congregate, you see Pall-Mall in the smart red package. This is Don Hancock reminding you to listen in tomorrow night when Pall-Mall, famous cigarette, the cigarette of modern design, will again present, Believe It or Not, Bob Ripley. This is Neutral.